Welcome to another virtual author chat at the Poison Pen Bookstore. Today, the Poison Pen is delighted to have with us New York Times bestselling and award-winning author Wendy Corsi Staub, whose new book is Windfall. Before we begin, I'd like to let those know the Poison Pen does have copies of Windfall available for order. Please give us a call or go online. We would be happy to connect you with this truly wonderful thriller. And now I'd like to welcome Wendy.
Hi, John. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you again. I'm so delighted you could be with us to talk about your new book. Why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about yourself before you became published, because you're one of the few authors I'm aware of that was almost focused on being an author before you became published.
I was. I decided I wanted to be an author in third grade. And oddly, that seems to be the year that so many of my friends will relate to that. You know, that for some reason was when I decided that that's what I wanted to do. And then I was pretty much single-minded all the way through for the rest of my my school years. I worked on newspaper, all that kind of thing. And then I moved to New York to get into publishing. I had worked also in a part-time in two indie bookstores. So I'm a poor girl in my past. Always so grateful to booksellers because I know that they are the key to putting my book into the hands of readers.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like matchmaking. So so I did that, and then I got into publishing with an eye toward eventually becoming published. I was really trying to learn the industry behind the scenes and figure out, you know, how things work and what I could do to become an author.
What was your initial path to publication like?
Well, there were rejections along the way, starting when I was very young. I was, submitting to Highlights magazine, and 17 was my first publication. I sold a poem to them. And it was my first paid publication. It was really exciting back when I was a kid still living in my hometown. And then I started writing and submitting full-length manuscripts. I had a few that were rejected, but I was lucky enough to get notes from a colleague. I was actually an editor at the house where I was submitting. I was submitting under a pseudonym. I had rented a P.O. box near Grand Central. and it was an ouch. You know, I had to take the criticism. But then when she realized it was me, we sat down and she said, "You will be published, but this is not the book and this is not the genre." So it gave me the encouragement I needed. I'm really grateful for that.
Well, obviously, it set you on the right path because you published, is it more than 100 now, books?
I'm closing in on 100, yeah. I'm around 100. I think the next, I've got a few coming.
That's
up.
Just amazing. And your latest is Windfall. What can you tell us about Windfall?
Windfall is about three old friends who chip in for a lottery ticket while they're away on a girl's getaway weekend. You know, they haven't seen each other in years. They were college roommates, and you think you know somebody after all these years, but they kind of pick up where they left off. They chip in for a lottery ticket because they went to Vegas for their getaway and they did not win, and they're all in the midst of problems that they all feel like money would solve, as we all often do. You know, it's the fantasy, but they win a $1 billion lottery jackpot. And before they can claim it, the one who is holding the ticket disappears. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the book from there is about, you know, relationships as much as it's a mystery and suspense novel. It's about who do you trust? How do you trust people that you once knew? How well do you know them? It's also about women and the struggles that, these three women in particular face with juggling motherhood, career. You know, they've been through divorce, losing their business, trying to, you know, achieve a dream. So in so many ways, I feel like it's a women's fiction novel or just a novel as much as it is a mystery.
I think you're right. I also think it kind of slots into that domestic suspense kind of genre, like Lisa Jewell and people like that are writing books that definitely have elements of suspense, but also bring in the family and the friends and all those kinds of elements to the story.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama there, real life drama. You know, I feel like so many people I've spoken to who have since read it have mentioned that they relate in one way or another, you know, having been through a bad divorce or custody battle or whatever it might be. So yeah, I think that those elements have popped up often in my work. And thank you for mentioning Lisa Jewell because I'm a huge fan. I love her. So
She
thank
is
you.
amazing. You also, and we won't go into too much detail, but you do it very cleverly. There's kind of a secondary mystery to the story because they go to California and there's almost an estate there, and there's a mystery about what happened to the previous owner.
Yes, the estate is called Windfall, which is kind of where the title came from. And it's the last place that a very famous movie actress had been spotted before she disappeared 25 years ago. And so as the story progresses, wildfires are encroaching. And interestingly, you know, I grew up on the East Coast. I've always lived on the East Coast, had never experienced this, but did so much research as I was writing it. We had that kind of smoke here in New York. I'm in the New York City suburbs, back in I think it was June. And it was terrifying. It was like my book had sort of come off the page, and
Age.
yeah, we were in, you know, just encroached by smoke. It was terrifying. And I kind of only then did I really experience it. But I liked it. It sort of created a locked room mystery. You know, the house is really isolated by, you know, and communication is down because of these fires. So.
Yeah, in some ways, it kind of to me harkened back to like Rebecca and those old estates where things were happening. So you really kind of draw in all those elements. Another thing that I really thought you did well, and we can mention it because it doesn't reflect upon the plot, but there's some references to Raymond Chandler in the book. And I thought, I wonder if she's going to bring in that quote, and you did. And I
I
thought
did.
that was so clever of you.
I sure did. Yeah. I yeah, that goes back to my college English major days, and you know, I thought that that worked the story. So yes, no spoilers, but
Yeah, there was the Santa Ana winds that kind of were tying everything together there. I know sometimes readers don't necessarily think that authors who are writing novels have to do research. You just make everything up. But there is research involved in almost every novel. What kinds of research did you have to do for Windfall? I'm thinking maybe about the whole idea of wealth management experts and that, because I briefly heard about that, but you really kind of open the door into that world.
yeah, I started this a couple years ago by just, you know, it was the fantasy that we all have about what would happen if you won the lottery. And then I stumbled across, I think it was an article about how many people who have won an astronomical jackpot have made terrible missteps or just been targeted by crime, or have made bad financial decisions. So then I learned that there are people who are adept at helping you handle sudden wealth, because people who have always had money know how to handle money, right? They are well versed in what to do, but so many circumstances, you know, demand somebody who knows something about it. Like, you know, I was talking about it with my husband. We were listing not just people who win the lottery, but people who achieve sudden stardom, young athletes who sign, you know, multi-million-dollar contracts, people who discover a treasure. You know, there are so many circumstances. You could inherit an astronomical amount of money. So I came up with the idea of this woman, Shay is her name, and she owns Windfall, and her job is to be a sudden wealth consultant. She takes clients, she takes a percentage of their wealth, and she not just handles financial decisions, but security concerns, everything. And the three women in my book hire her to oversee everything. So she's a fourth character.
A fascinating character, and you kind of throw some things at the end that reveal a lot about her past, too. I saw something where you had asked some of your fellow authors, maybe it was part of research for the book, or maybe you were just doing it out of fun, but what they would do if they had won, if they won $1 billion. And it was really interesting to see some of their responses.
Oh yeah, it was fun. I asked them, I said, "You just won $1 billion. What are your first three splurges?" And it was interesting to note. Some were very tongue in cheek, and some were very philanthropic, and it was just really interesting to me. So many people are kind of craving travel and that kind of escape, and that's where my mind goes too. So that was kind of universal. It was interesting.
That is interesting. Another thing that I thought you were very intuitive about and insightful, you have written that every crime novel is sparked by a writer's what if. I thought that really is, that really, you can look at a book and think, yeah, that really does make sense. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, I explained how this one came up. Just what if you won? What would happen? Or what if you won with three friends? In other cases, I will be going about my business, sort of overhear a snippet of conversation, and that just triggers something. I can come up with a whole plot just by overhearing something and thinking, what if these two are trying to hide a body, and that's what they're talking about? So it just, I think that most writers are born with that innate curiosity, and nosiness. I will say it's in part nosiness, about other people. I'm just truly fascinated by people and what makes them tick. And yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your writing process, because you've written suspense novels, romance novels, women's fiction, young adult novels, biography, horror. I mean, you're definitely, you know the business you're writing, but if you look at your total body of work, are there certain elements in each of the books that kind of you would define as Wendy's literary DNA? Are there common threads that you find in each, almost, or almost all of your books?
In almost all of them, I will have younger characters, whether they're viewpoint characters or not. I started out writing YA, young adult fiction. So I will often have, a difficult teenage daughter or two, as we see here. Or, I like to explore that mother-daughter relationship, father-daughter relationship, mother-son. That is in most of my books, maybe not a teenager, but a younger character. I like big twists. I've always tried to work toward blindsiding the reader, and I hate it when I'm reading something and I can see that twist coming. So I work really hard to fool my readers. And the more of somebody's work you read, the more you kind of know what they're doing, that sort of sleight of hand. So I have to work really hard these days. There's no better payoff than when someone says, "I never saw that coming. I thought I knew." That's also a hallmark. And I don't write about superhero type people, in the sense that they are spies or FBI agents or
The
people
Jack
whose
Reacher kind of characters.
right. These are just people going about their ordinary business, ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances, and that is pretty much something that I find fascinating. And
Let's.
often, danger striking where you feel safest. If something horrible happens at home where you feel like you've locked your doors and now you're in danger where you can't control that to me is terrifying.
Let's focus a little bit on your suspense novels. What do you think are the critical elements necessary for a good suspense novel? How would you define a good suspense novel?
I think the clock is always ticking in suspense, as opposed to, in a mystery, sometimes it's already happened and you're unraveling what's happened. But in suspense, you're building towards something, and there's a real sense of, time is the pace picks up as pages go by, and time is passing, and you're building towards something terrible that might happen, or time is running out for you to figure something out. So to me, that is suspense. And also, I like to go into the villain's viewpoint. I don't always do it, but most of the time I do. I won't tell you who it is, but I will sort of go into that viewpoint and let you see things from that person's eyes, because in my opinion, no hero is all good and no anti-hero is all bad. And for me, the only way to really explore that is to get to know what makes both of them tick.
That's great. Yeah, I'm always thinking of the phrase every villain is the hero of his or her own story when you look at it from their viewpoint.
Yes. Maybe not in real life as much
No.
as we can
In their
do.
world, but their world could be skewed. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And I really like, in my books, that's what I do. I like to find the one little thing that will make you have a little bit of empathy for that person, or find out how somebody could become a villain.
What is your, I know readers are fascinated, many of them, by how a writer produces the book, and writers are all over the map when it comes to working on a book. What is your own particular approach?
I always work on a laptop. I can never do, longhand for sure. That would be really hard for me. So I work on my laptop, but always at home. I'm not one of those, as long as I can, unless I'm traveling at length, and then I'll have to make it work. But I am not a person who can go into a coffee shop with my laptop and pound out a chapter, because I will be so nosy and so distracted by whatever's going on. So I tend to work on my laptop when the weather is nice. I said I live in the New York area. I'm an outdoorsy person. I like to be outdoors. I work outside as much as I can. So it's an all day thing. Sit with a laptop out on the deck and just write away.
When it comes to plotting your books, suspense and things like that, you really have, there's almost a choreography of scenes and things like that. You have to know how things are going to slot so the payoff comes when it is necessary. Do you always know this is how things are going to fall out? Do you just kind of sit down and think, here's my starting point, I hope I can figure it out as I go along?
That one. B, number two. Yes. I know where I'm starting. I also know the ending, usually, maybe not in a lot of detail, but I sort of hope I can figure it out as I go along. I'm a pantser, as I go by the seat of my pants as I'm plotting. And a lot of times I'll write a scene, I'm not sure that it'll fit where I write it, and I'll pick it up and lift it later, which is wonderful to do on a computer. Because I started writing back in the days before that. So, it's like a big puzzle with lots of pieces that you're just sort of trying to move around and see where they fit best.
You had also written something, this would be for the aspiring writers who are tuning in, that I thought was really, in its way, brilliant, because a lot of writers don't elucidate this or elaborate on it. But what you had said was relating to why you want to write. And you say, for many beginning authors, they make the mistake of becoming too emotionally attached to the project they're trying to sell, stubbornly refusing to adapt, to write for the market's needs, and then wondering why they're not making progress. If I understand correctly, what you're thinking is, when someone wants to be a writer, you have to figure out, why are you doing it? Is it for the creative process itself, or do you want to sell the book? And can you kind of talk about that?
Yes, because there is art and there is commerce, and we all know that that's a tricky melding.
Yes.
So I started out, like everybody does, writing, thinking that my art was all I needed to know. But when I worked in a bookstore, I think that was where it triggered something that, I could read a great book, but it might not be a bestseller. It might not be something anybody else would want to read. And the same went with writing that book. So if you're going to write for yourself, you journal or you write poetry, whatever it is, that's great. If you want to make a living at it, you really have to figure out how to detach yourself emotionally. Otherwise, you will be, it's so very difficult to take the criticism. You do have to have a thick skin, obviously, but it's easier when you start to see it as a product that you're trying to sell. I do have a background. I also worked in an advertising agency for a couple of years, so that really helped me to understand that it's a product and I need to reach my customer. And these days it's about branding as well, because now I've built this brand. My readers know what to expect and I can't switch things up on them. They know what they want when they pick up one of my books and I don't want to disappoint them. That's the brand that I built. That's our agreement.
Yeah, I think that's very important too. And I also think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're not saying that you shouldn't care about the quality of what you're writing. No. You should always be, whether you're writing commercial fiction, poetry, or that should be important, but you can't, I guess, let be perfect be the enemy of good, I guess, or something like that?
It's something like that. Oh, you absolutely have to. You know, I care about the characters that I'm writing about, right down to the point where when I finish a book, I feel like I'm losing friends. You have to let yourself become emotionally involved in order to create something that will connect with readers. Otherwise, it's just words on paper. You become a part of the story, but you have to understand that the story that you're telling, in order to reach an audience, it's just like losing an audience when you're in a conversation. You know, you could ramble on and on and on and lose your audience, or you can sort of know how to convey the story that you're wanting to tell in a way that will engage. And I guess that's, you know, that sounds far from the art commerce thing, but for me, it was, I don't know, it was a necessary lesson, because I'm an emotional person and I really had a hard time early on with anybody not accepting my work, or with becoming rejected, you know, just constructive criticism, anything.
Yeah, yeah, writing is a tough business. I don't know why people want to do it, but they do. I think the other thing that you said that also is wise in its way, you need to be aware of the market, what's trending, what's popular, but you can't write the market, because the market is always going to be three steps ahead of you. But the example I would give is World War II seems to be, you know, the be all and end all for historical fiction for a number of years. But yep. Another author told me that they were working on projects and they're hearing from editors now that maybe it's time to pivot to a different. If you're Kristen Hanna or somebody like that, yes, World War II will always be your playground. But yep. You're a new aspiring writer. Sometimes you have to take that in and kind of think, okay, that's something to consider.
Yeah, don't write to the trend. I once wrote a Titanic series, you know, I think it was 1997-ish. And it got, well, I'm trying to remember. I think it was just rejected by one editor. But the message was, Titanic's been done to death. A year later, the movie came out and people couldn't get enough Titanic. And for me, that was such a lesson in, you know, you couldn't write to that trend. I couldn't have sort of conjured this Titanic book at the time, because by the time it came out, it would be 2 years after that. So, and there's another, I once, my editor, I was sitting in an audience while she was giving a panel at a conference. I was waiting for her. And she said that the next big trend was she said feral romances. I thought she said pharaohs.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how I heard it. And afterward, I said to her, pharaohs are big. She said, because she said, that's what's trending right now. That's what I want to see. I thought, pharaohs, who knew? Like Egyptian, you know? Yeah. And I had heard it wrong, because I was then sitting there thinking about, you know, the Pharaoh book that I could create for her. The lesson there is, yeah, don't write to the trends. You might not even understand what the trend is. It'll be gone.
No. You have written approaching 100 books. You've gained a lot of knowledge about the business, about writing in general. If you could go back to when you're first starting out as a writer, what would you tell yourself? What advice would you have liked to have known back then?
That your goals will be achieved. You know, I had so many goals. Make the New York Times list, have something on television. You know, there were so many goals that for me felt like they were make or break. And I focused so much on, you know, if I didn't make that goal with that book or in that year, I felt like I hadn't achieved what I wanted to. I wish I had enjoyed the path a little bit more, I think, without always feeling like I had to do something very specific. And that's just kind of who I am too. I'm pretty ambitious. I have a lot of energy. Normally I like a list. I'm that kind of person, but boy, did I make things hard on myself. And boy, did I feel like in some of those years, you know, I hadn't achieved, when if I had sat back and breathed and enjoyed just that I was creating something and getting paid for creation, that was really the goal all along. And that's something that I've learned now at my age. You know, what a blessing that is.
Yeah, that's very smart. Sometimes you just have to widen the perspective and look mm-hmm. at that. You have a background, as you've mentioned, in advertising, and you've worked in publishing and editorial. Are those skill sets that help you as an author? Or do you find now that your own editor is saying, be the writer and stop being the editor?
No, I think that those things taught me to be the writer. You know, I know it's not my job to, you know, come up with the title that will sell the book if they don't like the title that I've come up with. You know, I will defer usually to sales and marketing and publicity. That's their job. They are experts. My job is just to write. I think I learned that very early on, and I think that made things much more palatable for me getting my start. I think there's a relief in knowing that, you know, you can only control so much. You can control the kind of story you write, the kind of book you write, and just put your heart into that.
That's and great. Let's talk a little bit about you as a reader. You've written a number of books. Do you write the kind of books you like to read? Who are some of the authors that you, over the course of your years, that you think, wow, these are have been important to me as a reader, maybe influenced me as a writer?
Well, I definitely read suspense. I will say that is my go-to these days because so many of my friends write it as well. Right now I'm reading Laura Lippman's Prom Mom, which I love. It's so good. I'm halfway through it. But yeah, Laura Alifert Burke, Allison Galen, Megan Abbott, Aunt Kelly Garrett has had, and Sarah Wyman writes these amazing, you know, like I am a fan of true crime, nonfiction. I think a lot of suspense writers read that because we're researching or we're just fascinated in some way. So those things capture my attention. I love history. I read a lot about old houses and sort of small town histories and familial history. I love that. That's, you know, I've done a lot of genealogy research and that's crept into my work as well.
It's interesting that you mentioned true crime and old houses because both kind of factor into Windfall in their own way.
Yes. And so the next thing I'm writing and the one I'm writing right this minute, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I love an old house. I grew up in a Victorian. I spent a lot of my childhood in the attic looking around for secret panels. Never found one. But that to me is, you know, I just love that things happened before and maybe some of that remains and you might stumble upon a secret.
Yeah, that's true. And that kind of plays into one of your other series, the Lilydale books.
Yes.
In a sense.
That's what I was referring to. I'm writing book six now. And I was just writing this morning about, you know, this false wall. I've visited that now in six books and I had to remember and look up exactly how I described it. But I love that. It speaks to me and mystery within a mystery, you know, love it.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about what's coming next or would you prefer that to remain a mystery?
I will. So I'm writing book six of the Lilydale Mysteries. And I am, as of today, writing a new suspense series. I say today because my agent just went to contract this morning. We went to contract.
Wow, so, congratulations.
Yeah, it's we're about to go to contract. So I'll keep the details to myself, but I will say that it is about an old house in the Hudson Valley that has been over the years a lunatic asylum, an abandoned piece of property where somebody went missing, and it kind of has dual timelines and just really close to my heart and right there in my wheelhouse. And that'll be launching in I think late 24 or very early 25.
Wow, that's great. How can readers learn more about your new book Windfall, your other books? Are you on social media?
Yes. I try to be as much as I can, but I'm on Instagram and Facebook as much as I can. I try to interact with readers there. I also have a website. It's just wendycourseystaub.com. People can write to me there. I get mail from readers and they always, always answer it. And, you know, have wound up corresponding with quite a few people. So, yeah.
That's great. I can't believe how quickly our time has flown by. We've been fortunate to have with us author Wendy Coursey-Staub, whose new book is Windfall. I'd like to thank Wendy for taking time to join us virtually and for writing such wonderful books. And thank you for everyone listening into another virtual chat at the Poison Pen Bookstore.
Thank you, John, and thank you, everyone. Thank you, Poison Pen.
Thank you.
Hello. We hope you're enjoying our programs and podcasts with authors. We'd like to expand them, and your help would be appreciated. Please make a donation at poisonedpenfoundation.org. 100% of the proceeds will go to help connect authors with readers in this difficult time. Thank you.